This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, checking in with State Senator David Brock Smith. And David, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Doing good. I understand you spent part of your day over here in the Douglas County region yesterday. Talk about what was going on.
Well, Monday, actually, we had the opportunity to bring Senate President Rob Wagner down to do some community listening sessions, scheduled one at 10 a.m. at Aviva Health. And I want to thank Casey Bolton and Aviva for letting us use their conference space. And then, as you know, I have a rather large district. And so we had Douglas County representation there. And then we had another community listening session from community leaders over in Bandon at 3:30 that same day. That was a great turnout, and lots of conversations about what's happening. Housing is, of course, a big issue, and Measure 110, crime, homelessness, land use policies, and so forth. So it was a really fantastic opportunity for the Senate President to kind of get a pulse of what I talk about in the legislature, and the commitment for him to actually come down and want to listen from our community leaders was great. We had Nikki there from the city of Roseburg. We had Jerry from the city of Sutherland. Of course, Jared Corden from Roseburg School Districts, and he updated us on all the fantastic work and internships that he's working with community and businesses for CTE programs that we'll be talking about more in the future.
So what was the Senate President's response to being down here in this area, getting a chance to look around and kind of see how the local attitudes are about various issues?
Well, Senate President Wagner is... He actually did his homework before he came down, and so his response was fantastic. I know that he was leaving to go up to see Senator Anderson in his district above ours in the Central Coast, and then Senator Weber in the North Coast to have, I don't know if they've set up some similar listening sessions with community leaders, but he is going to engage, which is fantastic for our rural districts. So many times the Portland mantra and politics, as we all know, doesn't allow us to move forward the ideas that we have down in rural Oregon, and so many policies that are passed by the state, as I've always said, there isn't just a cookie-cutter Oregon policy. There needs to be differences when it comes to our rural areas, such as land use and opportunities, for example, to grow our housing base and housing stock. And so he was engaged. He asked questions. He was on topic and very interested. And I look forward to continuing those conversations as we move forward. As you can imagine, Kyle, there's a number of bill concept ideas to flesh out that came out of the conversations, such as land use and other issues. And so ADM, for example, childcare and ADM W payments to children from ages 2 to 5 rather than just 5 and older. And so I look forward to continuing those conversations as we move into the, of course, the short session, which is a sprint of 35 days in February, but in the 25 session, where we have the 6 months to flesh out these ideas and see if we can't turn the needle as we have in other things in the past.
So what are your hopes for issues to hit in that short session? The time is so limited, and obviously the leadership will direct to where they want to go, but are you concerned about some issues not getting to the table?
Well, there's all kinds of issues that need to be on the table, but frankly, there isn't enough time to have those discussions, and when you're in the minority, it creates even more problems. my hope for the short session is the time is used. The voters approved the short session for needed fixes and budgetary fixes, and the majority party has used it as a tool. And as you remember, when they tried to move cap and trade, for example, in the short session of 2020, and I led the effort to stop it, that was a piece of legislation that had no business being the short session. It would have changed the economic system of the state. And so what I hope for the short session is that we have the new committee with regards to Measure 110 and its reform. I'm leading the Republican charge for a what I call a surgical repeal, to where we can give law enforcement back their tools and continue treatment funding. The committee will continue their work in bringing back some legislative concepts to the short session. What's critical to me is accounting for those treatment dollars. And so not only do we need to recriminalize hard drugs, giving law enforcement back their tools, giving them the ability to protect our citizens and the lives of those being lost due to fentanyl and other overdoses, that we don't even know how much Narcan is saved, to be honest. We need to make sure that those dollars are accounted for, and I would like to see those dollars go to the counties, and then the counties create the MOUs with the NGOs, the memorandums, understandings, contracts with the non-governmental organization and the other service providers, so that those service dollars can be accounted for with the treatment and, frankly, with the citizens.
Are you hopeful that Measure 110 and this type of reform will even make the table during the 25 days, though?
Oh, most definitely. 35 days, and most definitely. It will make the table. It should be really the only issue that we discuss in the short session. It is critically important. One of my bills will be a repeal bill for just this. I know that it will be front and center, and we will have something come out of the 35-day session on Measure 110. The problem is, as a member of the minority party, the majority party does not and has not in the past. We got a little win with regards to fentanyl, but only because of the number of deaths. I mean, just in your news story, before we came on, it talked about fentanyl deaths nationally. And so I am cautiously optimistic that we will be able to make strides and give law enforcement back the tools that are necessary. But I know there will be reform when it comes to Measure 110. The problem is we don't know what that looks like yet, and we'll continue our work to make sure that it's something that it works for everyone. We're working with OSSA, the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, the Chiefs of Police Association, our District Attorney's Association, and others to craft something that we know will make a difference, and not spending over $210 million from OHA into a pit that, frankly, doesn't have any accountability to the citizens that the dollars are coming from.
Now, you spent time here in Douglas County, over on the coast this week. Now I understand you're up in Washington. What's going up? What brought you up there?
A conference. So I've been leading the effort and pushing back against for the state of Oregon and pushing back against BOEM, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, against the proposed lease areas for offshore wind off of Coos and Curry counties, the other half of the district, Senate district that I represent. And so there's a conference up here from the National National Conference of Environmental Legislators, and this is going to be their topic. And so they invited me to come up because they know I'm a little pragmatic when it comes to these issues, and so I needed to be here to gain some information. I'm here with Senator Golden, Representative Pham, Representative Gamba from Oregon, and other Washington California legislators. California, of course, is in front of us. And as you might remember, Kyle, I passed legislation to put a pause on President Biden's development of offshore wind off the coast, and we're continuing to do that. we as a state need to have direction. We need to have direction of even though they're 13 miles off, we need to have direction of where those are going to be located. We need to protect our fishing fleets and their access. We need to protect our view sheds from these developments. And we need to make sure that we have a say in what and where these, where the power is landed, and then what community benefits, we call them CBAs, community benefit agreements, we can have to make sure our citizens are taken care of and investments are made wisely in our communities. So I've been home, I think, 14 hours in the last, oh my goodness, 11 or 12 days, running all over the state. We had legislative days the week, last week up in Salem. Was over for the UCC ball, which is, was amazing in the community. And what they gave, over $300,000 to UCC and what they're doing. And it was great to be there with a bunch of those folks and enjoying Commissioner's Voice and Kress and Freeman and Representative Osborne and Congresswoman Hoyle and the Veterans Day Parade in Roseburg, which is just a fantastic turnout. I really appreciated all the, just the overwhelming community supporting our veterans. As you know, my father is a 27-year retired Lieutenant Commander Navy veteran Mustang, and so he, I know he appreciates it as well.
All right, a lot going on. Check in there with State Senator David Brock Smith. Out of time for now, but we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
843.